Hi guys, it is Emily here again, obviously, and I am going to do another Just M like I've been doing on Wednesdays, and I always back this up to like right before I have to leave to do something, and I know it's because I don't want to do it because I'm still feeling uncomfortable about it, but whatever, that doesn't mean I don't have to do it. We all have to do uncomfortable things. I tell my kids that every 5 minutes. So let's get started. We're going to do a Just M, and I titled this week's Just M, How Dare You? Partially because I think it's funny, but partially because it goes along with the thing, obviously. So today we've been going through John, and we're going to be in John chapter 2. We're going to be finishing up John chapter 2. So we're going to start in verse 18, and we're going to end in verse 25. And I'm really excited about it. Every time I start, I think, is this going to be great? At first read, sometimes it doesn't seem that interesting. But every time, God surprises me. So he's great like that. So I wanted to just recap. We've been in John. Last week, Jesus did something that didn't seem very Jesus-y, and he cleared out the temple. He dumped out coins. He turned over tables and did things that we might think were like, ooh, someone's got a case of the Mondays, you know, but he was completely justified in what he did because he's Jesus. But we figured out the heart behind it and like, why was it such a big deal? Is because he wanted to clear a way for everybody. That's where we stopped last week. So this week, we are going to pick up there and figure out what did the Pharisees do in reply to what Jesus said. We're going to read the first part. So John chapter 2, 18 through 22. So this is right after he cleared everything out. This is what the Pharisees said. What sign do you show us for doing these things? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. The Jews then said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? For reals? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. And when, therefore, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Okay, so the Pharisees didn't disagree with what Jesus did. That's what I think is interesting, is they didn't say, how dare you do such a thing? They didn't ask that. And I think partially because they knew it was the right thing to do. You know, have you ever been in those situations where you weren't the one that did something, but someone else did the right thing? And then you're like, oh, dang, I missed that opportunity. Or maybe you just, you know, feel embarrassed because you weren't the one that did it. So that's kind of what happened here. They knew that he had done the right thing. They knew that this wasn't benefiting all the people, but they hadn't done anything. It made them look bad. Their focus was on power. Their focus was on appearances. And Jesus's focus was on clearing the way for everyone to have access to the Father, right? And so that made them look bad. They didn't like that he thought he could do it. They didn't mind that he did it. So their question is, how dare you? How dare you do that? Why do you think you could have done that? We should have done that. But why do you think that you could also have done that? On what authority do you think you have? And so honestly, Jesus's answer, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. It feels, again, at first glance, you're kind of like, couldn't you just have told him, dude? Like, aren't you being a little cryptic, like on purpose? Is that kind of jacked up? But honestly, he knows their hearts and he knows they don't care. They're not looking for the truth. And so he doesn't mind not giving him the truth or giving him the truth in a way that he knows they aren't going to get because they're not searching for it, right? And so it made me think of our kids. When our kids ask questions, sometimes they really want to know. And sometimes they don't want to know. They just want to be irritating or whatever. They have other reasons other than the truth. I know when we're driving, my daughter, who's a little bit less, I mean, girls tend to be really verbal and everything, and she is, but she tends to ask questions when we're doing an activity, which is what I've heard guys are a little bit more like that typically. Like, guys like to do things, and that's when they have their conversations. So she's like that. And so typically in the car is when we're not looking at each other, is when she'll ask questions about, like, adoption and things like that. And when those questions come up, I know they're real questions. Like, the other day, and it always happens when I'm PMSing, and I wish that wasn't true because I'm always like, oh, do we really have to have this conversation right now? But we do, and I don't say any of those things. I'm just like, oh, I feel a little fragile as it is. But the other day, she asked me, like, well, who's my real mom? Like, you adopted me, and I have a birth mom, so who's my real mom? So we had a really great conversation about that. That's a great question. It's a real question. But when she was little, she was trying to just keep me in her room. You know how they don't want you to put them to bed? They have a million reasons why. Just they need another drink of water. Or for me, I always wanted cinnamon toast and my mom gave it to me. Mom, you did a really great job. I don't think I've ever given my kids cinnamon toast at night at bedtime. But my daughter, her question that was a fake question was, as I was leaving, I was trying so hard to extricate myself. And I had told her, like, it's time to go to bed. It's time to go to bed. And as I was leaving and walking down the hall, I hear her yell, "What kind of toothpaste do you use?" That is not a real question. That is a stalling question. And I am no fool. So I didn't answer it. And so that's kind of what we see Jesus doing here is he's not going to really kind of dignify the question with an answer that's an actual answer. In other places, when he knows people are really wondering, he will go into it. So I think that's important to realize when it feels like Jesus is being cryptic and it feels like not fair, it's because that's not a real question. And he knows that because he knows everything. Additionally, he didn't feel the need to go into it because he knows who he is. So when they say, "How dare you?" he's like, "Dude, like you have no business asking me that. I'm God." And so I think that when we know who we are, we don't have to be so defensive. He has every right to clean the temple out, and he knows it. So he doesn't feel like he needs to tell them who he made, why he did what he did. And so that makes me think of, again, kids. And when they're lying, they are so down with defending themselves. Like, it is so important that they communicate clearly that they super didn't do it. But if they really didn't do it, they're like, I didn't do it. Anyway, I think that's why also he didn't get in a tizzy about telling them what authority he had, because he knew what authority he had. In this little passage, I wanted to just pull out a couple things. Like, how could we struggle well based on this? At first glance, we could think, I don't really know. But I thought about it, and I really feel like there's some good things to pull out. So first thing is, do you find that you're compelled to defend yourself? Like, when somebody asks you a question, or maybe not even a question, do you feel the need for people to know X about you? Like, what is that thing? I wrote a question and I thought if you fill in the blank, it could be kind of telling. So if you were to finish the sentence, it's important that people know I'm blank. Smart. It's important that people know I'm capable. It's important that people know that I'm a good mom. It's important that people know that I'm nice. It's important that people know that I'm pretty. Whatever that is, that's an important question to take to the Lord and go, why is it important to me that I prove myself in this way? And just look at it with him. I think sometimes we think, oh, I feel bad about that. And so we bury it down and we don't have a look at it. And we can't grow through it and past it and beyond it if we don't have a look at it. So I don't know, just maybe struggle well this week by filling out that sentence. It's important that people know I'm blank. So then in that very same section, he talks about his body as a temple. And so I just wanted to mention, not to shame you or anything, but he's referring to himself as a temple. And I think that we sometimes don't treat ourselves very temple-y. We can see that, I mean, obviously he's a temple, he's God. But if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we're a temple as well. And so I'm not trying to make you feel bad. And it's not just like food and everything like that. But are you getting enough sleep? That is important. Are you scheduling too much in your day? We just have limits. Our temple has limits. And I think that sometimes we don't want to acknowledge that. I know that for me, for a while, going to bed at the end of the day felt like a failure that I had to rest. But that is me not wanting to depend on the Lord. And so I just think it's not a bad question to wonder what small change could we make that would be treating our temple more like a temple. I think that you guys know that I love Revelation Wellness, but something that Elisa Keaton talks about is that we either tend to obsess over our bodies or neglect our bodies. So it's a spectrum, right? What could you do? And immediately everybody's like, oh yeah, I definitely obsess, or I definitely neglect. I totally neglect. So I think that if we could think of it that way, instead of going, oh yeah, a temple, I've heard that a million times. It doesn't really like sink in, really. If you think of it on the spectrum, obsession or neglecting our bodies, and then just think, what could I do? One thing today, this week, one new habit I could form that would get me closer to a healthy place with my body. That's been helpful for me. Then at the end of that section, verse 22, it says, when he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this, that he'd raise the temple in 3 days, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. I love those aha moments. And 2,000 years later, we can look at that and go, duh, guys, he told you like a million times. However, in our own lives, we don't always have those aha moments. But why is that? We can tell by what They did. They had light bulbs go off, but it's because they had listened to what he said and they believed the scripture. So they knew what the scripture said. If you feel like, oh, God doesn't talk to me, or I can't hear from him, or he doesn't care about me, or he would say things, are you spending time with him? Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you reading the scriptures? Because aha moments come when all the pieces come together. And if you're not doing the things, and it's not works-based, but if you're not spending time with him, it's not going to come together because you don't even know what is happening. You don't have all the pieces, right, to put them together. So that's just an encouragement, that just another way that if you want God to be real and active in your life, he is. But if you want to know about it, and if you want to partner with it and, you know, be yielded so that he can do even more, listen to him and read the words so you know what he says. A strategy to struggle well for that would be, where are you weak? Are you weak in prayer? Are you weak in the area of quieting your stinking mind down? That's where I am. Are you weak in the area of, do you fast, or do you just think that's not even a thing I should do? Are you weak in memorizing scripture? Wherever it is that you're like, I'm super bad at that, get a book about it. Do some, I don't know, look on Pinterest, whatever. Just become a student of that area of your weakness so that you can get better, right? Like, I think we need to get serious about our relationship with the Lord and strengthening the weak areas. And then we're going to have those aha moments like the disciples did. The light bulbs are going to start going off. The Lord wants that for us, right? And I think sometimes we just don't take it seriously enough. Again, I wanted to encourage you with our kids. Sometimes it feels like, and I'm sure Jesus felt like this, I am telling you people the same thing all the time and you don't get it. Well, they eventually got it, but they got it pretty late. I mean, He was already dead before they got it, according to this, right? After he died and raised after 3 days, they're like, oh, 3 days. Yeah, duh. So I think that we need to realize our kids are hearing us. Like, it's going in. It's not making sense yet. Turn off the lights. Please brush your teeth. Can you please brush your hair? What if you put your shoes back in the same place? Then you'd know where they are. Like, all these things that we tell them, we're like, can you get it? It's going in. So just be encouraged. They'll remember it eventually, Lord willing. Even the disciples who were really trying to get it, they didn't get it till he died. They are hearing us. However, because they're hearing us, it's very important that we make sure that what we're speaking over them and to them is life-giving. It's truth about who they are. It's truth about who God is. They are listening. We may see no fruit of that, but please make sure that you're saying things that are true about them. And I mean, me too. I had the worst homeschooling day yesterday. I was ready to just move to Nashville because that seems like a cool place to live and leave my kids behind. I'll leave them with my husband, but I was ready to just be a single woman and hit the road, become a country singer in Nashville. But I didn't. Here I am, still here today. But just make sure that even on the tough days, we're speaking the truth to ourselves and our kids, because they're listening. Okay, so let's read the last two verses, John 2, 23 through 25. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name, Jesus, and when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, he didn't entrust himself to them because he knew all people, and he needed no one to bear witness about man because he knew what was in a man. Of course he did. He made him. I loved this. I did a little research. Don't be impressed. I don't know anything about Greek. I did go to Bible school, but I went by the beach, and I mainly went to the beach during theology classes and all that stuff. So it wasn't a good use of money, but the beach was beautiful. Anyway, so they believed Jesus when they saw what he did. But what John does here is the Greek that he used is that they believed. It's called pisteuo. I'm probably saying that right, but that's believed in Greek. And so the original translation says they believed pisteuo in him, but he did not believe in them. So he's doing a little wordplay there because he knows what's in a man. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? But we're not that quick sometimes, and we feel like, well, sure, that's true, but I can understand my heart. No, you can't. And I can't understand mine. And so the things we super want to do, we've really got to sit with the Lord about, really got to take counsel with other people who are wise, and because our heart is deceitfully wicked. So a strategy to struggle well about that is to ask yourself, what are you entrusting yourself to? It says he did not believe in them. Another translation, he did not entrust himself to the people. So what are you entrusting yourself to? Are you entrusting yourself to a relationship with a person or with a thing or with an idea or with a goal that is not healthy? It could be friendship that you're just keep putting yourself out there and it's just not healthy. You're expecting things from them that they can't give you. Or even with our kids, I think sometimes we think our kids have to be achieving a certain thing to be okay that makes us okay. Or if they're not successful, then it's going to be terrible. So we stop everything we're doing so that they can be successful. And or your spouse, sometimes we have our spouses on a pedestal and we think they can do no wrong. Sometimes we have our spouses, we think, well, I can't get better until they get better. That's hogwash. So I think sometimes we tie ourselves in relationships that aren't healthy because we're entrusting ourselves to something without realizing, hold it, my heart is wicked. We need to be careful what we get ourselves entangled in. It could be social media. Yeah. Yes. When people are like, I don't even know about Instagram. I don't even know about social media. I'm like, oh, that's so good. Don't learn. Don't learn about it because it takes a lot of boundaries and it can be tricky. So what about food? Obviously, we can entrust ourselves and go, oh my gosh, for me, it's Nutella. I was telling my wellness revelation group that we're going through, that is my thing. I just, when I feel sad, it's Nutella time and on a spoon. I'm not picky, but it's not. It is not Nutella time, Emily. Or a goal, even if you have a goal and it's a great goal, even if it's a goal of like savings, that's great. But it can, if you're entrusting yourself to that goal, it can be a problem. So anyway, that's all I've got really. I wanted to go ahead and pray for us and then I gotta go. Lord, thank you that when somebody asks us, how dare you? When they wonder, on what authority do we act? We can say, on the authority of the Lord, like I am his and this is truth. And so when we come up upon things and we're not sure what's true and what's not, thank you that you tell us. And thank you that we can know, that we can walk in confidence in things that are good and true and right and lovely. But Lord, will you please help us when we're entrusting ourselves to the wrong thing? Would you get us on the right track? I know you're faithful to speak to us. Would you help us daily to be increasingly faithful to listen? Would you help us to strengthen the areas where we're weak? Would you help us to hide the word in our heart and not just say, oh, I have a poor memory? Would you help us to pray? I remember when I would never pray out loud, and I am praying out loud on Facebook Live. What? Like anything is possible. So Lord, thank you that you're faithful to us. Thank you that you were good to us and you are for us and you want great things for us. Pray that you'd help us to be real about our hearts and to know that they are deceitful and wicked, but to continually bring our hearts before you without shame, but just going, Lord, you've said I could approach the throne of grace boldly. And so here I come with my wicked heart. Would you help me sort out what's going on? What can I keep and what needs to go? Because you ultimately are what we want. We love you, Lord. Amen.